Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, March 5th, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 5, let's start the corrected translation at verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Because of this, just as by the agency of one man, Adam, sin, and that's in the singular, the sin nature, entered into the world and spiritual death through sin, and in this way, spiritual death spread to all mankind, every member of the human race, because all sinned when Adam sinned. Now that begins the great parenthesis at verse 13. That is, before the Mosaic law was given, personal sin kept on being in the world. But personal sin is not imputed to us. It's reserved by God the Father to be imputed to Christ on the cross to solve our sin problem. But personal sin is not imputed to us when the Mosaic law did not exist. Now that brings us to Romans 5, verses 14 to 21. And in this passage, we have a contrastive parallelism. Contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:14 says that the first Adam serves as a type, tupos, a type of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam was created perfect, while the last Adam was born perfect. However, the parallelism is primarily, in this paragraph, a contrastive parallelism. That is, Adam is the head of the fallen race of mankind because their fallenness is derived from his sin. By contrast, Christ is the head of the redeemed race since he is the source of their redemption. In this passage, Paul is presenting the contrastive parallelism between the obedience of Christ, his salvation work on the cross, and its results of justification and reconciliation, with the disobedience of the first Adam and its results in sin and spiritual death. So what we have here is a contrastive parallelism. All right, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. We have the conjunction Allah plus the nominative singular of Thanatos with the definite article plus the aorist active indicative of Basileo plus the prepositional phrase apa plus the proper noun Adam and the preposition mekri with the proper noun mousaos. Mousaos. See, you thought his name was Moses. Mousaos. The conjunction Allah looks like this in the Greek. A-L-L-A. It is a conjunction of contrast. It can be translated, but, yet, rather, nevertheless, at least, we're going to translate it, nevertheless. Nevertheless, and then we have ha thanatos. Looks like that in the Greek. Ha, that's a definite article. The, T-H, A-N-A-T-O-S. Ha thanatos. The death. The death. He's already presented this in Romans 5:12. So he uses the definite article to say, I've already mentioned this. This is the death. This is spiritual death. Adam's original sin imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth, resulting in spiritual death of every member of the human race. And then the verb basileo. Looks like that in the Greek, B-A-S-I-L-E-U, long O, basileo. Couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally, basileo means to be the king, to rule, to reign. To be the king, to rule, to reign. That's the verb basileo. Two, figurative. Just a second here. I'm losing my voice. Just green tea. Figuratively, point two, basileo is used of spiritual death ruling over the entire human race. So literally, it means to be a king, to rule, to reign. Figuratively, basileo is used of spiritual death ruling over the entire human race. Three, this verse looks at the human race from Adam to Moses. Verse 14. It's just looking at the human race from Adam to Moses. However, point four, however, spiritual death rules over the entire human race throughout all of human history. Our verse has looking at it from Adam to Moses, but spiritual death rules over the entire human race throughout all of human history. Five, what is true from Adam to Moses is also true from Adam to the end of the millennial kingdom. So what is true from Adam to Moses is also true from Adam to the end of the millennial kingdom. Six, The Mosaic Law is a non-issue. Keeping or failing to keep the Mosaic Law is a non-issue. Seven. In verse 14, Romans 5:14, the Apostle Paul is amplifying what he presented in Romans 5:12. And that is, we are all born in the status of spiritual death. So our verse, verse 14, is now Paul is amplifying what he presented in verse 12, we are all born in the status of spiritual death. 8, the real issue is spiritual death, which comes from the real imputation of Adam's sin to our genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth. So the real issue is spiritual death, which comes from the real imputation of Adam's sin to our genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. The constative aorist views spiritual death ruling over the entire human race in its entirety. That's the constative aorist. Active voice, spiritual death performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact of the scriptures. And then we have two prepositional phrases, apa avam, from Adam, and then mekri mousos, to Moses, from Adam to Moses. So the corrected translation, nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses. And then it says, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. By the way, we always start with the King James and pretty thundering diction there. Even over them that hath not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Okay, even over them that hath not sinned. We have the conjunction chi plus the prepositional phrase epi with the articular aorist active participle of hamartano with the negative me. The conjunction chi K-A-I. You say, I know, chi means and. Well, many times it is continuative and it means and, but it has other meanings. Adjunctive, ascensive, and this is the ascensive chi, and in the ascensive chi, it's correctly translated even. Even. And in this last clause of verse 14, we have a preposition epi used two different times. Two different ways. We have epi with the accusative of the direct of the object of the preposition, and then the second time we have epi plus the dative of the object. So it's used two different ways, with the accusative as the object and then as the dative as the object. The first time it's used with the accusative object and means over. The second time it's used with the dative object and means after. So the first time we have epi plus the accusative articular participle hamartano with the negative me. Correctly translated, even over those who had not sinned. The articular participle is a substantival participle. That means it functions as a noun. That means it may be translated the ones who had not sinned or those who had not sinned. And then we have after the similitude of Adam's transgression. This time we have epi plus the dative singular of hamoioma with the definite article plus the genitive singular of parabasis with a definite article, plus the proper noun adam. Now, Dana and Manti, in their A Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament, on page 106, says that epi plus the dative should be translated after. And that's how we're going to translate it. Dana and Manti know a lot more about that than I do. So, after. And then, hamoioma. Looks like that in the Greek, H-O-M-O-I, long O-M-A, hamoioma. Hamoioma means likeness, and then parabasis. Looks like that in the Greek, P-A-R-A-B-A-S-I-S, parabasis. Parabasis means overstepping or transgression. With the proper noun adam, this is Adam's transgression or Adam's original sin. So the corrected translation of verse 14 then sounds like this. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression or Adam's original sin. Got that? I mean, it's great when you get it right from the original autographs. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, Adam's original sin. All right. One. We do not all express sin in the same way that Adam did. We do not all express sin in the same way Adam did. Adam's sin was a direct negative volition from a mandate from the Lord Jesus Christ that you get all the trees of the garden you can eat from, but not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You eat that, dying you'll die. Dying spiritual death, you will die physical death. So we all express sin, but you haven't committed the same sin because you're not in the garden and there is no tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So you do your own thing. I'm not even going to try to figure out what you're doing for your sins. You all have your category of your sins. So we do not all express sin in the same way that Adam did. Two, but we do all express the facsimile of Adam's sin, and therefore we're all guilty. But we do all express the facsimile of Adam's sin, and therefore, we are all guilty. Three. Adam's sin was negative volition. A direct disobedience to the mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam's sin was negative volition, direct disobedience to the mandate of Jesus Christ. Let's go back so we can see it. Turn back to Genesis 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. Genesis 2, 16. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, Adam, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat For in the day that you eat from it, dying, you will die. You will die spiritually immediately, and then eventually you will die physically. So that was his sin. Adam's sin was negative volition, direct disobedience to the mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ. God set up a test for man in his perfection in the garden, and the test was a test of his volition. Four, Adam's sin was direct disobedience to the mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ. Direct disobedience to the mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ. That mandate, you shall not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you do, dying spiritual death, instantly you will die physical death. So Adam's sin was direct disobedience to the mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five. The entire human race was seminally in Adam when Adam sinned. That was Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12, when Paul says, because of this, just as by the agency of one man, Adam, sin, the sin nature entered into the world, and spiritual death through sin, and in this way spiritual death spread to all mankind, every member of the human race, because all sinned when Adam sinned. So, the entire human race was seminally in Adam when Adam sinned, Romans 5:12. Six, condemnation is the result of Adam's original sin imputed to the old sin nature at physical birth, resulting in spiritual death. Condemnation is the result of Adam's original sin imputed to the sin nature at physical birth, resulting in spiritual death. At physical birth, we are the recipients of two real imputations. And of course, you're all clued in on that, on the doctrine of imputation. Two real imputations. Real imputation of human life to the soul, and the real imputation of Adam's original sin to the sin nature. And therefore, we are all born physically alive, but spiritually dead. So at physical birth, we are the recipients of two real imputations. The real imputation of human life to the soul, we're all born physically alive. The real imputation of Adam's original sin to the genetically formed sin nature, but we are all born spiritually dead. Personal sin is the result of spiritual death, not the means of spiritual death. So seven, personal sin is the direct result of being born in spiritual death. Personal sin is the direct result of being born in spiritual death. Eight. Sin, human good, and evil are all the result of spiritual death. Sin, human good, and evil are all the result of spiritual death. Nine, Adam's original sin, imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth, is the basis of mankind's condemnation, not our personal sins. Adam's original sin, imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature at physical birth, is the basis of mankind's condemnation, not personal sins. We are born spiritually dead the moment of physical birth. Ten, between the time of Adam and the time of Moses, personal sins were committed in abundance. Between the time of Adam and the time of Moses, personal sins were committed in abundance. Probably billions and billions of personal sins. 11. But those personal sins were not imputed to the individual for condemnation. But those personal sins were not imputed to the individual for condemnation. Rather, they were reserved by God the Father so they could be imputed to Jesus Christ on the cross and solve the world problem of sin. So those personal sins were not imputed to the individual for condemnation. Rather, they were reserved by God the Father so they could be imputed to Christ on the cross so that man can receive the grace gift of eternal salvation by simply believing in Jesus Christ. So, corrected translation. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, Adam's original sin. And then it says, who is the figure of him that was to come? This is the relative pronoun host plus the present active indicative of aimee plus the nominative singular of tupas plus the articular present active participle of mello. The relative pronoun host that's H. Oops, not long O. Just forget that. That's not a long O. That's Omicron, not Omega. H-O-S. Hosts. And it has an antecedent. It refers back to its antecedent, Adam, Adam. And then the to-be verb, aimi. And the to-be verb, aimi, is a nomic present introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. He is a tupos. T-U-P-O-S. This is where we get our word type. It means type, pattern, model. And Adam, the first Adam, is a type of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, one, Adam, first Adam, is a type of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, the first Adam was created perfect. The first Adam was created perfect. Third, the last Adam, Christ, was born perfect. Four, Adam and Christ, the first Adam and the last Adam, were the only two people in all of human history who were perfect at their beginning. Adam and Christ, the first Adam and the last Adam, were the only two people in all of human history who were perfect at their beginning. And then we have the verb mello. M-E-L-L-O. Mello. Couple of things on the verb mellow. Great verb. It Mellow, point one, denotes certainty. Certainty that an event will occur in the future. Certainty that an event will occur in the future. Two, it means to be on the point of, to be about to be inevitable, to be destined. And we're going to translate it to be destined. So mellow denotes certainty that an event will occur in the future. It means to be about to be on the point of, to be about to be inevitable, to be destined. Three, it denotes an action that necessarily follows the divine decree. It denotes an action that necessarily follows the divine decree. Four, the articular participle once again is substantival. That means it functions as a noun, and you would translate it the one who was destined to come. The one who was destined to come, and that is the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the corrected translation, verse 14. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, Adam's original sin. Who, Adam, is a type of the one who was destined to come, the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam. We got verse 14 again. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, Adam's original sin, who, Adam, is a type of the one who was destined to come, the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam. All right, one. While the first Adam was created perfect, and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was born perfect, the synonymous parallelism ends right there. And the rest of this is a contrastive parallelism. While the first Adam was created perfect, and the last Adam was born perfect, the synonymous parallelism ends right there. And now the rest we have the contrastive parallelism. Two, the objective of Romans 5, 14 to 21 is to emphasize the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. The objective of Romans 5, verses 14 to 21 is to emphasize the contrastive parallelism between the first Adam and the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, the first Adam is the head of the fallen race of mankind, because spiritual death is derived from his original sin. The first Adam is the head of the fallen race of mankind because spiritual death is derived from his original sin. Jesus Christ said, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That day that you eat of it, dying, you will die instantly, spiritual death. You will die physical death." So the first Adam is the head of the fallen race of mankind because spiritual death is derived from his original sin. Four, by contrast, Christ is the head of the redeemed race, since he is the source of their redemption. By contrast, Christ is the head of the redeemed race, since he is the source of their redemption. So point five. In Romans 5:14-21, Paul is contrasting the disobedience of the first Adam with the obedience of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:14-21, Paul is contrasting the disobedience of the first Adam and the result of spiritual death with the obedience of the last Adam, his salvation work on the cross, and its results in salvation and justification. So again, point five. In Romans 5:14-21, Paul is contrasting the disobedience of the first Adam and the result of spiritual death with the obedience of the last Adam, his salvation work on the cross, and its results of salvation and justification. Six, the first Adam brought condemnation to the human race. The first Adam brought condemnation to the human race. Seven, the author of sin is not God. That's blasphemy. Don't ever go there. The author of sin is not God. The author of sin in the human race is Adam. The author of sin in the angelic realm is Satan. But the author of sin is not God. In the angelic realm is Satan. In the human race, it's Adam, first Adam. So the author of sin is not God. Eight, the first Adam brought condemnation to the human race, while the last Adam brought salvation to the human race. The first Adam brought condemnation to the human race, while the last Adam brought salvation to the human race. Neither the first Adam nor the last Adam started with a sin nature. The first Adam was created perfect with no sin nature. The last Adam was born perfect with no sin nature. And that was possible, made possible by the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them were minus anything related to sin. Point nine. Both had a free will. The first Adam and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, both had a free will. The first Adam chose to sin, resulting in spiritual death. The last Adam chose not to sin, resulting in impeccability, sinless perfection, and therefore qualification to go to the cross and provide salvation. So both of them have a free will. The first Adam chose to sin, resulting in spiritual death. The last Adam chose not to sin, resulting in impeccability and qualification to go to the cross and provide salvation. 10. The first Adam is the author of spiritual death. While the last Adam is the author of eternal salvation and justification. The first Adam is the author of spiritual death, while the last Adam is the author of eternal salvation and justification. A contrastive parallelism. I know you like that word, contrastive. You don't know how to spell it, but you like it. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, spiritual death ruled from Adam to Moses, even over the ones who had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, Adam's original sin. Who, Adam, is a type of the one who was destined to come, the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, well, this gets us into a very important doctrine of the Word of God, and I got 2 minutes to teach it to you, so we're going to stop there, take a break. When we come back, the Lord's table.